Today on Straight Talk Africa, why are some African presidents traveling abroad for their medical treatment, shunning their own health care facilities? We'll discuss the issues next, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters in Washington. I'm Peter Clotty, sitting in for Shaka Sali, who is on assignment.
And hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Ayan Bior, your social media reporter.
Today on Straight Talk Africa, in recent years, several African presidents and senior government officials have sought medical treatment abroad using state resources. So why are African presidents traveling overseas for their medical treatment, avoiding their own nation's healthcare facilities? An in-depth discussion on the issues is coming up in a moment.
And coming up later, we received your emails, Facebook and Twitter comments to this week's question, and we'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
African leaders and political elite are regularly shunning hospitals on the continent to seek treatment abroad. My VOA colleague Paul Sisko has more.
Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari is back home. Throngs of cheering people lined the streets in Abuja, Nigeria over the weekend, welcoming their president home. The president has spent much of 2017 in Britain, receiving treatment for an undisclosed illness. President Buhari arrived in the capital Saturday from London, where he had spent more than 100 days there under medical care. It was his second medical leave this year. In January, President Buhari left Nigeria on what was first billed as a 10-day vacation. But his time away was later extended with a letter to the National Assembly saying his doctors recommended more time away to deal with his health issues. That London sojourn lasted over 50 days, fueling rumors and false reports of his death. Many Nigerians remember President Umaru Musa Yar'Adua. He was declared president in a controversial election in 2007. Yar'Adua left Nigeria in November 2009, reportedly to receive medical treatment in Saudi Arabia, and was never seen in public again. Muhammadu Buhari is not alone when it comes to African leaders opting for foreign medical care. Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe has visited Singapore several times for health checks. Meanwhile, his country has suffered through frequent strikes by doctors, nurses, and medical personnel at the nation's public hospitals, protesting low wages. In Angola, after a prolonged absence, officials confirmed longtime leader José Eduardo dos Santos was on one of his regular health checkups in Spain. Despite its oil riches, Angola's infrastructure is suffering. Last year, yellow fever claimed several victims after severe waste collection cutbacks. Benin's President Patrice Talon has had at least two surgeries on recent visits to France. Over the last decade, multiple African leaders have died in office, did so while seeking treatment abroad. Zambia's Michael Sata died in a London hospital in 2014. In 2012, Ethiopia's Meles Zenawi died in Belgium. Gabon's Omar Bongo died in Spain in 2009. President Malam Bakay Sanya from Guinea-Bissau died in France in 2012. Levy Manawasa from Zambia passed away in France in 2008. Many leaders promise improved local health care when campaigning for office. Clearly, the expense of their entourage and travel for better, more expensive treatment in Europe or elsewhere might better be used to improve medical treatment at home. The United Nations World Health Organization says Africa has the world's second worst health care shortage, a shortage in excess of 4.2 million health care workers. Nigeria, Africa's most populous country, has some 15,000 Nigerian doctors working outside the country, primarily because of poor infrastructure at home and facilities, lack of drugs and resources, and poor, incomparable wages.
I'm very grateful to God and to all Nigerians for their prayers. I'm pleased to be back on home soil among my brothers and sisters.
Paul Sisko, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul. Joining us here in Washington, Reverend Aniedi Okure, Executive Director, Africa Faith and Justice Network. David Dimas, Inspirational Speaker, Blogger, IT Consultant. And joining us live from on Skype from Nigeria is Dr. Osehun Enabulele, former President of the Nigerian Medical Association. Welcome to you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Well, let me come to you in Nigeria, Dr. Enabulele. You recently said that President Buhari broke his promise by flying abroad to seek medical treatment. You estimated that in 2013, about $1 billion was used by Nigeria for officials traveling abroad to seek medical treatment. Tell me, as a medical doctor and a professional at that, do you feel slighted that these leaders fly overseas to seek medical treatment?
I feel terribly slighted by the incessant frequent medical trips by our political leaders, even in the midst of immense intellectual capital and medical expertise that abounds in their countries. And I think this remains a blot on our collective escutcheon, both professionally and even as a country.
Now, when you meet as medical professionals in Nigeria and along the West African sub-regional bloc, what do you discuss about concerning these leaders who frequently fly overseas to seek medical treatment?
Well, one recurring theme in our discussions is the consensus that one of the serious challenges beclouding and befuddling African health systems has to do with poor political commitment of our leaders. And the resolve has always been to drive greater advocacy to these leaders. But over the years, it has become increasingly clear that a lot of them are not interested or sensitive to these advocacies. And that is why you still find lots of them traversing the length and breadth of the world to go and seek medical care while abandoning the health infrastructure and the health human resource and indeed the health of the people that they govern. So the point has always been made that unless and until they are more politically committed to the health of their citizens and, of course, the health system in their countries, and we'll continue to have this kind of very abysmal tendencies, very, very, you know, plunging the health institutions into what has been called, what I call the nadir of abysmality in terms of the palace and lugubrious and doleful performances that we see coming out of most of the systems across Africa.
Let me come to you, David Dimas. I saw you nodding your head. Well, what are your views about these leaders flying overseas?
So the most popular reason people give, like the doctor has said, is the same thing. Poorly funded health sector, ill-equipped hospitals, and poorly staffed hospitals. That's the most popular one. However, I understand where that comes from. Let's look at another part of it. To me, I think there are four of them. One is what we just spoke about, the fact that, yeah, the health sectors are poorly funded. Number two is that they do this because they have the state resources available to them. If they have their private money, will they do that from their private fund? No. It's because they have these resources available to them. The third thing to me, in all honesty, is I think it has to do with privacy. Some of them prefer this notion that they get more privacy when they go outside the country.
But aren't they supposed to have privacy with their doctors? It's in the code of conduct.
I see where you're coming from, which is true. That's why we're saying that the notion, they have the notion that they have privacy. You get the point. So at the end of the day, you find out that they have this funny feeling that, oh, things are better abroad, services are better abroad, and privacies are better abroad, which is an indictment on the medical system of the countries. If I have to go abroad for my own privacy, then it's an indictment of my own medical sector.
Let me come to you, Reverend Aniedi. These heads of state oversee the medical system in the country. Usually they have health ministers who are doctors sometimes. They pump money into this healthcare delivery system. Why don't they have trust in this same system they spend millions of dollars on?
Yeah, first of all, let me say, they don't invest enough. You know, they don't invest enough in the healthcare system. Let's stay with Nigeria. The doctor has, rattled off a number of sums. And I want to make a follow-up on that. First of all, if you look at the amount of money looted by government officials each one of them, each of the top 10 looters can build at least two state-of-the-art world-class hospital with the money they're stealing. And then have the doctors there practice where things are available to them. So that's number one. The second thing is that most of these presidents, I mean, it's a laundry list of African presidents, they feel that going abroad is something to add to their resume, you know. And some of them might even be afraid of their own doctors. Maybe sometimes, am I safe? You know, especially those of them who have overstayed their own term of office. But there is something more. I think that if you look at Nigeria, Ghana, South Africa, then Ethiopia and Kenya, which are the five countries that have many doctors here in the United States. They're expert doctors, they're on top of their profession, and many of those Africans who go abroad, many of them end up being treated by Africans from their own countries in Europe, in the UK, in Saudi Arabia. And again, talk of privacy, the privacy issue came up. You remember General Yakubu Gowon? Mm-hmm. The wife gave birth to the child in Nigeria. When he was sick many times, he got treated at University College Hospital in Ibadan, Lagos University Teaching Hospital. So those things are there. Why these people continue year after year siphon the external reserve to another country, the entourage that goes with them, presidential entourage, family, and then you have sometimes the whole Congress goes on visit. At the end, you are looking about $6 billion a year in service of medical treatment for presidents who have no business going abroad. They should learn an example from Tanzanian president, you know, who tries to be treated home and who counseled the pomp and pageantry of independence to take money to improve hospital setting.
You're talking about Dr. John
Magufuli. Yeah.
Right, let me come to you, Dr. Nebulele. Public funds have been used to train medical doctors in Africa. Let me talk to you about Nigeria. You are a medical doctor. You were trained in Nigeria. What are some of the things you discuss among your colleague professionals about how some accused you of abusing public resources because the hospitals are not being utilized and the doctors there, you know, go to have their own private practice? So that is why these leaders don't have trust in you.
Well, that is not the reality on ground, really. But first, let me state very clearly that there are a concatenation of factors responsible for our leaders going on foreign medical trips. They are all manifestations of what I termed as poor political commitment to health. And that gets, you know, reflection in the whole issue of poor funding and investment in health, the poor utilization of the health facilities that they claim that they have constructed. So it's a concatenation of factors all driven into that poor political commitment. Now, to the issue of poor use of public health resources, now, there is an extant law which, of course, gives prime importance to the whole issue of exercising your public and civil responsibilities. In this case, the doctors, the medical professionals, they have every right, of course, to exercise their responsibilities within the public hospitals. And, of course, even during their unofficial hours, even the Medical and Dental Council recognizes the need for them to also engage in some form of medical practice during unofficial hours. So, but what we have always emphasized at our meetings is that for those who are not adhering to some of these codes of conduct, some of these ethical codes of conduct, the institutions, the institutional management at those levels are duty-bound to, of course, impose sanctions. So they must not now carry the burden to the organizations, of course, of doctors. They have been given the sole right to govern those institutions, just like every other civil servant or public servant. And so where you find medical professionals being, of course, going against the law, or of course their codes of conduct or their public responsibilities, it behoves the management of those institutions to call them to order or to, of course, present those who need to be presented before the regulatory body of medical professionals, in this case, the Medical and Dental Council of Nigeria. So it is not an excuse for public office holders to travel abroad. There are laws on ground. We're talking about enforcing those laws and ensuring that there is a day of reckoning for all those who, of course, go against the law.
Well, Dr. Enebulele, I will come back to you after this short break. Now we'll pause for a short break. We want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming on Facebook. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa and watch our show live. And don't forget to share it with your friends. Also, we are on Twitter and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Africa Healthcare. We'll put some of your tweets on air later in the show. We'll be right back.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about the why African leaders travel abroad to seek medical attention. Let me come to you, Dimas. Why is it so difficult that African leaders will disclose their medical conditions? It's almost impossible for them to say anything about whether they are medically fit to run the office.
Now, yeah, you hit the word there. The reason why most leaders don't disclose their medical history is because they feel it will condemn their dreams and their visions and their desire to want to hold on to power. Number one is greed. Just that desire to hold on to power is there. They feel that if they make people understand that they're not fit, they're going to lose their office. They're going to lose their seat. Most of the time, the people are not fit. But because of the politics of religion and politics of tribe, people from that region will say, hey, if this man loses, we're not going to get this seat anymore. So they don't do that because of greed, because of desire to hold on to power, and I would say because of real wickedness, because at the end of the day, you're not medically fit to rule, but you still want to sit down there and keep using public funds while people, taxpayers, die of preventable diseases, and you're out there spending millions and millions of money on yourself abroad. So it's a thing of greed. It's a thing of desire for power. It's selfishness to me. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't hold any waters. It's just mere wickedness.
Reverend Yedi.
Yes, I think
everything is shrouded in secrecy.
Exactly, I agree with what he said. The other thing too is that most underline African leaders don't understand that they are public servants. You know. That once you take an oath and swear to be a president of the country, your life belongs to the country, to the citizens. And so this secrecy is symptomatic of something else we see going on. Namely, that once they get into power, their dealings, their willing and their dealings is all shrouded in secrecy. Bribes, contracts that are awarded, very few people know what is going on. So it fits into a pattern of life that once they get there, the presidency is now mine and the friends around me. And so to talk about, oh, this is what is wrong with the president is like, it's not their business. It is the business of the citizens to know what the president is going through. And even some of them that say to the citizens, pray for me. Pray for what? You know? What got to know what is afflicting the president so you can target the prayer directly to what is affecting him. So that secrecy is there. There is one exception, though. Patrice Talon of Republic of Benin disclosed to the Beninois, you know, why he went to France for treatment. Hallelujah. But he should have been treated home. That's not the point.
Dr. Nebulele, let me come to you. You were very critical of President Buhari, saying that he violated his promise of ending medical tourism. And you estimated $1 billion have been used by Nigerian officials in 2013 for some of these medical tourist activities, as you call it. You've had some very harsh criticisms from supporters of the ruling party. How are you taking it?
Well, I think for me it still remains very unfortunate because, again, at the end of the elections in 2015, Nigerians were very hopeful in terms of the having the true manifestations of the electoral promises made by the current government, ruling party or the government, and one of which, especially in the health sector, was the fact that they were going to end outward medical tourism in terms of foreign medical travels, especially by public and political office holders. And bearing in mind that was one strong provision that was included in the National Health Act of 2014, the first legal framework for health in Nigeria, wherein in Section 46 of the National Health Act, it is so stated that efforts will be made to restrict foreign medical travels by political office holders by way of ensuring that only exceptional cases that have been so recommended for referral by medical board and, of course, final approval by the Minister of Health will, of course, be sponsored for foreign medical trips in other countries. So in April 2016, the president made a profound promise again to Nigerians that the Federal Executive Council shall stop foreign medical trips by political office holders. So it was very disturbing when we heard in June a statement from the special advisor of media that the president was going abroad for what was called then an ear infection. As much as we appreciated the fact that we are all humans, we also felt disturbed that, one, this was a negation of his promise to the people of Nigeria, just the way he promised that a minimum of 15% of the country's budget will be plowed into health in line with the African Declaration by heads of governments of Africa in 2001. So we felt alarmed that this was contrary to the several promises that have been read out by him and, of course, the government. And we felt challenged that this needed to be taken up so that we can call them to account. We can call them to, of course, give expression to their promises. Not only is the National Health Act not being operationalized in terms of the fact that we are almost over 2 years after the passage of the National Health Act, after over 10 years of rigorous and tortuous journey to get it passed by the National Assembly and assented to by the former president, it is still not operationalized. And if it was operationalized, Section 46 is very clear. We will not even have any public office order being sponsored unduly, except it is an exceptional case. So on those two counts, the fact that the promise made by the government, even by the during the Federal Executive Council, one of the Federal Executive Council resolutions to stop foreign medical tourism, I mean, the president just flew, his actions just flew in the face of that resolution. And the fact again that we already have a law just now in Nigeria in terms of the National Health Act, which of course obligates all public office holders to go through the due process of examination and certification before being sponsored for foreign medical travels, we thought that there was no leadership by example in this case. And that was why I in particular was very alarmed. And of course, I had to, of course, perhaps try to call the president's attention to some of these promises and the need, of course, to lead by example, because we are in the face of some ethical rejuvenation, some resurgimental in our norms. And we thought that there should be a driver for this in the stature of a president, Muhammad Buhari. But unfortunately,
let me get back to you, Dr. Enebulele. Reverend Idi, you were nodding your head in response to, in agreement to what he was saying.
Yeah, you know, it is an irony, you know. Many Nigerians were looking for a change, which our current president, you know, promised. And, you know, but he has broken the record of medical tourism of presidents of Nigeria abroad, you know, having clocked 104 days at this time. So it feeds back to what we have to focus even beyond medical tourism, because this is a symptom of something much, much greater, which, I mean, we all know, is bad governance, is lack of foresight. People who have the resources and they don't plan for tomorrow. And presidents who, when once they are in the seat of power, they think it's a personal thing, you know. So if you are no longer having the strength or the mental capacity to carry on the enormous task of governance, for God's sake, say quietly, I quit. And you will be an elder statesman for the rest of your life, honored, respected for what it is. So this kind of year after year, in fact, even though the doctor said $1 billion in 2013, the figure I saw for 2016 is that Nigeria has spent over $2 billion in 2016, including citizens, in medical tourism abroad, India, UK, Saudi Arabia, the United States, Canada. That's foreign exchange. That's waste of money. That's money that could have built hospitals. That's money that could have employed doctors, which we do have. As I mentioned earlier, you have excellent professional doctors, Nigerians. Here in this country, over 2,500 Nigerian doctors specialized in their different fields, not to count those who are frustrated and have come to either the U.S., Canada, U.K., and are still awaiting to be certified to pass board exam. They end up doing all kinds of menial jobs. People who have been invested their life being trained to take care of the sick now ended up doing something that high school students do, high school people do.
Let me come to you, Dimas. Usually, the government officials shroud this in what they call national security issues. The health of the president is a priority and a national security issue. Mm-hmm. So funds are basically cut off. You can't say anything about that. How do you react to that?
Yeah, but before that, I just want to add to what Reverend and Doctor said. Now, let's go back to Nigeria, for example. Like Doctor said, in 2001, the African Union said each country should be able to spend 15% of their budget mm-hmm. on healthcare. Now, funds are appropriated for healthcare. For example, in Nigeria, in 2016, $800 million was appropriated for health, and all those funds were not released. I can bet you that the little that were released were basically was basically looted because of endemic corruption. Now, let's break it down this way. This is clear that the government is not serious about health sector. Health sector, why they neglect it is because it is not the revenue-generated sector. Now, in 2014, instead of 15%, Nigeria used 8.2%. And guess what in 2016 was? 4%. So, but people won't see that. Now, coming back to your question, it is more of national security issue, yes. But like Reverend said, the issue of being a public servant is being misunderstood and misconstrued by a lot of people. When you're a public servant, you're a servant to the people. But like I said to you, some people think that power, holding on to power, is their birthright. They just feel that we want to hold on. Politicians and people in power would do anything at all to hold on to power because of wickedness, because of greed, because of selfishness. It's not because of anything called national security. It doesn't. If you're not fit for office, you're not fit for office. Like Doctor said, people don't want to set good examples. They just want to die in government. They want to die in seat, all because of greed. So it has nothing to do with national security, because if it has to do with national security, the sick president who cannot work is also a national security issue. You get the point?
Okay, go ahead.
No, coming from that perspective, you know, I think African presidents should learn something from Pope Benedict XVI, you know, who was elected to that office for life, right? He came to a point, he said, what I see ahead of me mm-hmm. and my health, I need somebody else to do it. Mm. And in fact, even people surrounding him said, oh, no, you are in for life. He said, no, yes, I know, but I can't do it. You know, that's the honorable thing to do. So you were about to ask your question.
We'll take a quick break, and okay. When I come back, we'll continue. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment, including our social media segment.
Youth are not just the next generation of African leaders. They are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them. Today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies. Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known. It's Upfront every Wednesday, 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa live from Washington. It's time to bring in our social media reporter, Ayan Bio. Over to you, Ayan.
Thanks, Peter. As we've mentioned, African leaders often travel abroad for their medical care. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari was in London, where he received medical care for more than 100 days. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, which asks, why do you think many African leaders travel abroad for their medical care? Well, before we begin, I'd like to thank all of you for using our social media platforms to communicate with us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA Africa Healthcare. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Ibrahim Brown, who tweeted, "They do not trust their own decisions and actions." And we have another tweet from Divine Rise, who said, "For security reasons or lack of confidence in the medical system." Now to our comment of the week from Facebook fan Alice Mary Kibrungi in the United Arab Emirates, who writes, "African leaders travel abroad for their medical care primarily for security reasons, but also for lack of confidence in the medical systems at home. It's time for African countries to make the health sector a priority, because every African child is a potential president. Shame on African presidents who flock to foreign nations for medical attention when their citizens are still dying from treatable diseases." Very interesting. And let's go to another comment from Facebook fan Brigi Mackin in Uganda, who writes, "They fear their health problems will be exposed to journalists, as they have no intention to leave power. They also don't trust the African health care. African leaders have not set up health care at home like they have abroad." And our last Facebook comment comes from Hassan Zaro in Nigeria, who writes, "Africans have the best medical doctors in the world, but we don't respect what we have. We have hospitals, but no equipment due to corruption. Instead, we prefer taking our money abroad to enrich other countries." Now, a reminder that we appreciate all of the audience feedback, so please keep them coming. And if you're a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Interact with our show as it's streaming live. And be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. Or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live on Facebook every Wednesday. Go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. On the next Straight Talk Africa, Shaka Salih hits the road to host a special edition of Straight Talk Africa, live from Azam Television in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. An in-depth discussion on Tanzania on the next Straight Talk Africa. Well, that's all for today's social media segment. Peter, you and the guests have a lot of social media comments to discuss. Back to you.
Thanks, Ayan. Today's topic, why are African presidents traveling abroad for their medical treatment, avoiding their own nation's healthcare facilities? Our guests are Reverend Aniedi Okure, Executive Director, Africa Faith and Justice Network, David Dimas, Inspirational Speaker, Blogger, IT Consultant, and joining us live on Skype from Nigeria is Dr. Osahun Enabulele, former president of the Nigerian Medical Association. So let me come to you, Reverend Aniedi. Why are these current African leaders not learning from the past leaders who have traveled abroad? Some of them have died. Why are they not strengthening the healthcare system at home so they would visit these health centers to be treated?
I wish I have an answer. Because that beats me. Some common sense will tell them that, you know, a laundry list of about 10 African presidents have died abroad. And it comes to the fact that no vision, no planning. You know, you should have learned that, you know, from your past, your predecessors or others, that this is not the way to go. And I think also they don't understand the dignity of the office they hold. In traditional African society, it would be an aberration for the king to be taken outside the palace for treatment. You know that, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. You bring in physicians, doctors to come to the palace to treat the king, to treat the ruler. And also it is an aberration, an abomination for the community that the king died outside the palace. And we have that violation of rich cultural heritage over and over, 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 10, 11 presidents dying outside, and others are following suit. You know, there is a genuine lack of understanding what it is. If it is a matter of security, why don't you fly in your own people who are abroad, specialists, surgeons, oncologists, and in all fields, bring them to the presidential palace to treat you if you want security? Because once you get yourself out, in fact, like we saw protesters gathering around and chanting where the president is, that's not right. That's not respectful of the office of the president. So the people responding why they have said corruption, lack of understanding, I agree with all of that. But why don't African presidents learn that lesson? Why don't they invest in something? Healthcare is a human rights issue, you know? So something as genuine as that is a human rights issue. Before you buy arms, secure health first. Make sure that people are healthy. Make sure that people have preventable diseases that could keep the nation alive, many countries alive. They don't do it. So
let me come to
I'm
you.
Baffled.
Let me come to you, Dr. Enabulele. Usually these African heads of state have an assigned medical doctor at their side every moment. And usually they are local-based doctors who will treat them in cases of emergency before their preferred destination abroad. If it's the case of mistrust and not trusting the healthcare delivery system, why do they accept these local doctors to be on their side in the time of need the most?
Well, I think increasingly it has become more like a formality. You know, they really do not attach so much of importance to the quality of their skill content and, of course, their expertise. It's like some governors will tell you that, look, even though they have special advisors, they are not under obligation to take their advice. I mean, we had a president in this country who once said that the fact that he had an advisor does not mean that he will take their advice. So why do you have physicians who are everywhere in the country that have the capacity and the skill content to, of course, take care of your problems, give you the necessary professional advice, and yet you decide to go abroad? I think, for me, part of the challenge here is the colonial overhang. Some of our leaders have still not been able to, of course, extricate themselves from this colonial overhang. We had a case of a top public office holder, in fact, one of the governors, a former governor in one of the states of Nigeria, who once vowed that under no condition is he going to allow Nigerian-trained medical professionals to touch his skin. That was said by a top public office holder, political office holder. Well, as God will have it, fortunately and unfortunately, this same public office holder collapsed in the presence of all of us medical professionals. And who were these medical professionals that attended to him? Nigerian trained medical professionals. That was a major baptism for that public office holder. And from then onwards, he rightly understood that these medical professionals are as good as those, professionals outside the country. So there's a tinge of colonial overhang, you know, in addition to the other factors that have been so expressly stated by the other panelists on this program. So I think that is a major challenge for us. And again, another problem is the issue of getting the people, the critical mass of Nigerians, to be able to call their leaders to account. You see, because of the distorted electoral system over the years, people come to offices not on the basis of a true electoral rights and, of course, the sovereign rights, the electoral support of the people. Because of the platform upon which they came onto those political offices, they believe that they can do away with the citizens. Immediately they get elected into those offices. And so they do not think that they have any responsibility, largely, to the health and, of course, the health rights of their people. So if the people can galvanize themselves to begin to call their leaders to account as to the fact that they need to give expression to their fundamental health rights, as to the fact that they need to commit themselves more responsibly to the development of the healthcare systems in their country, as to the fact that they need to give expression to even the provisions of the law that currently exists, I'm sure that some of them, when they know that there is always a day of legal reckoning, they will begin to, of course, think otherwise. And if they have more varied experiences, like that governor had, I'm sure some of them will begin to have a change of heart. I can tell you that even some public office holders, for just to check their blood pressures, they go to France and other countries to just check blood pressure. And there was a time when I was president of this of the Nigerian Medical Association. I had to go on an advocacy campaign to the legislature. I took the blood pressure of the then Speaker of the House of Representatives. But I made it clear to him that it was not just because we wanted to take your blood pressure, but to make a point to you that even your blood pressure can be taken in Nigeria. So a lot has to do with the psyche and, of course, the leadership orientation of our political office holders, and preeminently how they come to power, what value they place on the people's rights, the electoral sanctity of the people, and, of course, the colonial overhang that we have had over the years.
Thank you very much, Dr. Enabulele. You want to add something, Reverend Eniedi?
Okay, I wanted to add to what he just mentioned, that they don't put value upon the people they rule. One of the reasons they do that is because they benefit from it. They don't learn from it, they benefit from it. Tell me why you won't apply wisdom when you see that people who went this route passed away. Why do I want to waste national resources to go this route again? It's just because of what they get. So public officials always embark on this medical tourism. They go abroad to check their blood pressure, because when they travel, they get all other benefits also that goes with it. So I just want to add to what he said, that not just...
Absolutely.
Yeah, it, because of what they get from it, because of the entitlements, the ESTA codes and all that, just you know, and it's ridiculous.
Well, Reverend Nidi, before you come in, for the case of Zambia, you have Frederick Chiluba, the former president, mm-hmm. Patrick Levi-Wanawasa, mm-hmm. and of course Michael Chilufya-Sata, who died before this present one, Edgar Chagualungu, came. All these heads of state went outside the country seeking
abroad.
Medical attention, and they died
abroad. I'm baffled, really. I'm baffled at the, I don't want to use the word, but maybe inability. For people to learn, you know, that some truth is staring them in the face, they don't learn. And I think because, as I say, other things, we've talked about the colonial mentality, we talk about all kinds of things, but they come into a potpourri, if you would, that is making them not see beyond. Take, for example, you know, I've seen some African leaders who would water, they will order it from France back to drink, you know? I'm not exaggerating, it happens. So what is inside their head, you know? Is that the kind of people that lead a country? It is incredible. So why don't they learn? I think that we have our work cut out for us, namely citizens, you know? To really put people there who understand what does it mean to be in a leader. You are a servant of the people, mm-hmm. number two. Number one, is following that, which means you are employed to look after the welfare of the people. not your own and those around you. You are employed, you are an employee of the citizens of the state, and so you are answerable to them. But in most African countries, leaders, presidents, lawmakers don't understand that they are employed by the citizens. And so they don't feel that when citizens say, you are not doing the work we send you there, you are not doing it right, they send police to go and crush them. Where in the world do you have an employee, you know, being ruled by an employer, you know, in Africa? That's what it is.
Briefly,
now, some things are inexplicable. How do you explain somebody ruling for 35 years, somebody ruling for 40 years? Just 40. As you can't explain that. That's how you can't explain somebody, like a country like Zambia, that have consecutive people going out there. We lack accountability framework. We do have to go back and work on that.
A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll continue our discussion in a moment.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back. Let me come to you, Dr. Enebulele, in Nigeria. There's a school of thought that there has to be a constitutional amendment or an overhaul in all the constitutions on the continent to force these leaders to seek medical attention at home. With that constitutional provision, that will force them to improve the healthcare delivery system on the ground. Do you share in that assessment?
Absolutely. But beyond that is giving effect to those provisions that are to be constructed. I give the case of Nigeria, for instance. I said for over 10 years, we struggled very hard. Nigerian Medical Association, along with other stakeholders in the health sector, including the masses of Nigerians, struggled very hard for over 10 years to get enacted the first legal framework for health in our country, which has very profound provisions that, of course, try to address some of the inanities in the Nigerian health system, some of the inanities in the Nigerian states, including this issue of foreign medical treatment. So I think beyond the formulation of laws is developing effective strategies for enforcing or giving expression to those provisions or those laws. So that bears in mind, that brings to question the whole issue of enlightening the people on their constitutional rights, on the abundance of some of these provisions, and the need to call government to account and ensure that these provisions are given expression to. And where they are not given expression to, then other strategies have to be found to, of course, to impress on the leaders that they are the ones that gave them the sovereignty. They are the ones that gave them the opportunity to, of course, lead, and not the other way around. And, of course, when it comes to securing a second term or a re-election, I think the people can use their electoral rights to determine the fate of such leaders. Because health is a major issue, even in most advanced democracies, when it comes to electoral issues. And so it must become an issue for sustained discussion, an issue for sustained, you know, engagement with the political and public office holders. So the empowerment of the people is very key beyond the formulation of laws. I agree, yes, even in the case of our constitution, for instance, we have made the point that the bourgeois provisions, which seeks to, of course, protect the executive office holders, even in the case of infirmities or ill health, needs to be rejigged. There is no reason why you cannot have an independent medical professional to ascertain the health of political and public office holders, in African countries. But what we have is a situation whereby people they appointed are the ones not so provided in the constitution to ascertain their health right, their health status. That to us is an anomaly. And that is why we have come over time for the appointment of a Surgeon General, for instance, who has the independent, independent professional expertise and rights to call on behalf of the Nigerian people the health of any public office holders and disclose it to the Nigerian people. Because it is not obligated.
Let me come to you, Dr. Enebuleli. But Reverend Adi, some have suggested that if they will go abroad to go seek medical attention, why don't they learn from those leaders abroad who have independent institutions that take care of their health needs as long as they are leaders of that country? For example, the U.S., where you have, a section that takes care of the U.S. president, same like all the Western countries.
Yeah, the doctor was just talking, I'm in line with that. I'm thinking, can you imagine a situation where a U.S. president is being treated in Moscow and died there and has to be flown back here for burial, Okay, so just for a start. The point is, yes, I'm agreeing what the doctor said about, quote, empowering the people. Before I come to your question, I think that is key. In fact, the Africa Faith and Justice Network, 5 years ago, was wrestling with this issue. Said, why is a continent so rich, so blessed with human resources, natural resources, why does it continue to live in poverty conditions? Mm. And part of it we found, again, bad governance, just governance, corruption, which has been said over and over and over. But enabling that is a core of citizens who don't know their rights. And so part of what...
But isn't it why they continue to rule? Because these citizens will not hold them accountable.
And that's what we are trying to do. That's what I was trying to jump in when Dr. Doe was talking. That's the key. We need to empower citizens to say, Mr. President, Mr. Minister, or, whoever you are, lawmaker, we employ you and we demand accountability. We will get there. It really will take time, but I think that putting laws, as you say, you can have laws in the books. If citizens don't make sure those laws are enforced, it is toothless. It doesn't go anywhere. So we need to do an empowerment of citizens and, in fact, have town hall meetings, educate people on their rights, educate the people on their obligation, educate people to know that the king is king, thanks to them. The president is president, thanks to them. The minister is there because they employ them. So that mentality needs to be changed. And so when that is done, we can now see this issue of medical tourism by elected officials to know that if they must go abroad, if they feel they absolutely need to go, let them pay out of their own pocket, not at the expense of citizens who don't even have the basic preventable illness taken care of. And yet, people go abroad for blood checkup, for diabetic checkup, for whatever checkup. And even there was a case here 4 years ago, one of the Nigerian governors sending the daughter to come and give birth here. And guess what? The obstetrician and the nurses who took care of the lady were all Nigerians here in this town. So why is that? Why don't people think and said, okay, I traveled 5,000 miles or however long to be treated by my own brother and sister. I had to go and get visa. I had to buy plane ticket. I had to get hotel rooms for the accompaniment. It doesn't dawn on them. It boggles my mind, to tell you the truth. Why don't they see what the rest of us are seeing? I don't know.
Let me come to you, David Dimas. Some are saying that the constitutional provision should ensure rigorously that no state resources should be used for these leaders to go and seek medical attention abroad. And that contravention of the Constitution is an impeachable offense. They contend that with some of these rigorous legal processes implemented, it will force them to make better the healthcare delivery system in the country, because those who hired them, those who voted for them, go to these same hospitals and health institutions to be treated. What do you say to that?
That might not work. Africa does not have problems with knowledge. Africa does not have problem with resources. Africa has problem with lack of respect for rule of law and adequate law enforcement. There are so many laws that are out there that are not being respected. Enacting new laws will not change anything. I might be in my house doing what I need to do, but the people back there are manipulating the laws and manipulating the figures without us knowing. They're always shrouded in their secrecy, like we mentioned earlier. Why I say that might not work also is the fact that there are laws in Africa, some men for the rich, some men for the poor. The poor man can do something little and he gets punished for it. But there are so many government officials that have stolen, looted public funds that are out there working today. But when you look at the little things that happens to the people on the street, you steal a pen, you steal a book. I was reading the newspaper, somebody got jailed 45 years for stealing a phone. And people who are having billions are out there. In one of the states in Nigeria, the governor who stole billions of naira is walking on the street. But the person who impersonated the governor in one issue like that was sentenced to like 20 or 30 years in prison. So what we need to do is to go back and empower the electorate. Now, I want to talk about that briefly also. We don't vote people in. People vote themselves in. Africans.
What do you mean by that?
Okay.
Now, absolutely.
Do you think
the results are ready before the
electoral system is just bogus?
The electoral system is messed up completely, because that is something we need to go back and fix. We need to fix the electorate.
Absolutely.
And besides fixing the electoral system, we need to sensitize the people, that we need to take away the politics of religion, the politics of tribalism. A lot of people will keep quiet and turn their heads when their own person is there. But when the person is out and is to be indicted, they start jumping, carrying placards, oh, he's been victimized, he's been this and that. We have to take away the politics of religion, we have to take away the politics of regionalism and tribalism, and make the people realize that we need people that will lay foundations. If the leaders in the past have laid foundation for sound medical settings, sound medical sector, and going back to the Africa Health Strategy framework that has been done. Now we have Africa Health Strategy 2016 to 2030. If we go back and begin to lay a good foundation and ensure that we have a good accountability framework that will ensure that there's a powerful example. I always say this, a powerful example is always powerful. If you lock up a minister, if you lock up a governor, if you lock up a president, if you really, really do all that, the people that come behind will realize that, look, this is a no-go area now. So we have to go back and fix things.
Thank you. Let me come to you lastly. You have the last word, Dr. Enabulele, just in 15 seconds. Why do you think we are unable to determine the actual cost of all these foreign travels of heads of state and government seeking medical attention abroad? 15 seconds.
Well, it is clear that a lot of work still needs to be done. A lot of expenditures are shrouded in secrecy. The ones we can have are the ones accessible to us as civil as citizens and, of course, as health activists, either at the level of the embassies or at the level of even the destination countries. So unless and until there are provisions to, of course, make some level of transparent transactions, make for some level of transparent transactions, you continue to have this kind of shrouded, this kind of enmeshed expenditures, which are not known.
Thank you very much, Dr. Enabulele. On that note, thanks to our guests, Reverend Aniedi Okure, David Dimas, and Dr. Osahu Enabulele. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners. We thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Batty. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. Have a good evening.